عليكم ورحمة الله. I see some chairs on the ladies' side are empty. I don't know. I hope it's not because of last night's, you know, topic about marital life. Inshallah, I didn't insult. I'm sorry?
You were on their side.
I was on their side, yes. So. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. Thank you very much, Brother Ali, for your beautiful, enlightening words. I picked one thing at the beginning when you were talking about those social connection sites and how they reduce the face-to-face encounter, which definitely it will affect our ability to communicate with people. And, you know, it desensitizes us in a way beyond our human capabilities. So, very beautifully, you brought this. And also, thank you, Sayyid Ali, Sayyid Hadi Qazwini, for your beautiful poetry. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاستبقوا الخيرات إلى الله مرجعكم جميعا فينبئكم بما كنتم فيه تختلفون صدق الله العلي العظيم Our discussion tonight will be about volunteering and volunteer work. As the title says, volunteering a manifestation of our civility. I, inshallah, will dwell in the topic in three segments. The first one is the definition and the origin and cause of volunteering work. Second, we will have some discussion about self-reliance and self-sufficiency. And then eventually we will conclude with the effects and the result of volunteering. All of those after your big and loud salawat. Socialists describe volunteering, and this is the definition, is that an altruistic activity, a noble activity, intended to promote goodness or improve the quality of a human life and condition. For no return. They provide goods, but in return they don't expect any materialistic compensation. This is considered to be volunteer work. You can see that in every aspect of life. For example, on education, tutoring, teaching adults, illiterates who, you know, don't have much literacy for free. Libraries, different classes, workshops, those are all done under the volunteer work for education. In financial world, when somebody helps a needy people or endowments, trust, or loaning money to people, with no usury, no profit at the end. This is also another form of volunteering. You have religious volunteering. Someone who prays in behalf of the dead people, the deceased, those the deceased who were gone, it is also considered to be a volunteer work. In a professional world, the doctors, engineers, lawyers, who donate their time, their expertise for a cause without return, these are all kind of, you know, different aspects of volunteering. It is estimated that there are 36 million volunteers, 36 million of volunteers worldwide who do work with a budget of $200 billion annually. Meaning they create $200 billion or save $200 billion for their altruistic work. What is the cause of this? Of course, when you look at the list, you see the Islamic nations, the Islamic countries, unfortunately, at the bottom of the list. So you would wonder, what is the cause? What is the motivation? What does instigate this? Is it due to hasanat, for example, goodness? If that is so, then you should see it in the Islamic countries, because we are the ones who believe in the reward in the hereafter. But unfortunately, you see those in more secular societies than Islamic societies. So the psychologists explain the reason. They tell you the motivator for this, the instigator for volunteer work, when you provide work for no return, is self-love. Because you love yourself. It is self-satisfaction. You want to be satisfied about yourself. Your conscience needs to be satisfied about itself. Then they say that these has two components, the self-satisfaction or self-love has two components. One is the individualistic one. What do we mean by individualistic one? Meaning that I excel, I study, I compete for, you know, with others. For what reason? So I promote my own. I become singled out, standing in front of everybody. I want to be number one in my class, number one in my school. So I work toward my own individualistic characteristics. That's why you see people excel, study hard, compete, those athletes who compete with each other. They want to promote their own individualistic aspect of their self. This is one side. The other one is the social nature of a human being. You see, we are made of two components. One is the individualistic nature, that by self we promote ourselves. On the other side, we are social living things. We cannot live and survive when we are isolated. We have to be among community. The social nature of a human being ensures the survivability. We sustain ourselves. Communities continue to live because they are together. Due to what? Due to the fact that a human being believes in the social nature. They have to socialize. They cannot live, you know, without each other. Take, for example, the food that you eat. Those delicious dishes when you go to a restaurant. Where did they come from? A single seed that has been planted by others, have been grown and maintained by others, harvested and cultivated by others, transported and baked by others. Before it gets to my mouth and your mouth, it has to go through 20 hands. Otherwise, human being could not get to this fact, could not get this food if it were used to live in isolation. So it has to live in society. So the psychologists say that those two components, the individualistic and the social nature of a human being, when they're combined, they give the self-love. Therefore, I come to promote myself. How? by helping others. This I come to self-actualization. This I know that I am a human being totally different from the rest of the living things. Now Quran comes to applaud this act, comes to expand and help this kind of act. When you look at the holy verses in the Holy Quran, you see plenty of those verses promote and encourage people to do more of good things. Here are a few examples. Number one, فَاسْتَبِقُ, the one that I recited at the beginning. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فَاسْتَبِقُ الْخَيْرَاتِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Compete with each other. Have a competition between yourself in order to reach the finish line. إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. It is a short time, short life. You need to compete. You need to get to the finish line before others. Another one. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Cooperate with each other with, you know, for reaching virtues and righteousness. Another one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Prophet, says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ. One of the main things that God mandates upon the Prophets is when they help others, when they extend their assistance to others. Another one, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَافْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ. Pray, observe fasting, do the rituals, but remember, افْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ, meaning that there is a separation. افْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ here doesn't mean the prayers, rather meaning helping others. When you become a philanthropist, helping others, وَافْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a complete chapter in the Holy Quran to signify an altruistic act, a philanthropistic act done by noble people. And that is in Surah Al-Insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is a testimonial to the act, to the philanthropic nature of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, where the ayah says, يوفون بالنذر يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We feed you, we give you this charity. Actually, it was even more than a charity, a charitable act. It was an act of sacrifice. Those were fasting. Those were in hunger for 3 consecutive days. Ali, Fatima, and Hassan and Hussein. 4 of them were fasting at the end of each day. One comes, a beggar comes, a captive comes, an orphan comes and asks for food. They sacrifice at the expense of their health and their well-being. They donate it to others. For what reason? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We are looking for God's countenance, not any reward. We don't want any reward from you. So these are the causes. And Quran comes to approve this type of act. This is the first segment. The second segment, brothers and sisters, is the importance of self-reliance and self-sufficiency. From the very beginning, from the inception of a human being, when God has created humankind, has given him the capability and ability to survive and to meet challenges, to meet difficulties and surpass them. Here's an indication. The Almighty Allah talks about the creation of Adam. Give us the reason how Adam became better than the rest of the creatures. Why? Because he was capable of doing things that others could not do. He was self-reliant. He was self-sufficient. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. God has taught him, you know, the Malaika, the angels, ask God, why did you create a human being? Is it you think, is this a good thing to create a human being, someone like Adam? God put it on the context, on the contest, to show them that Adam is capable of being, you know, surviving and continue to thrive. Therefore, it says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The same thing that was taught to Adam also was exposed to those malaika. Now, what are those? We don't know what those are. The scholars have different explanations and different, you know, interpretations. It is beyond the scope of this lecture. We don't, you know, we're not into this. What it says that when God taught Adam, then he told Malaika, have you learned your lesson? They said, no. قَالَ انْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you're able, if you're truthful, then say it. See, show your, you know, your credibility, your capability. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. We are guided. We are continuously guided by you. We cannot move, you know, left and right. Then, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِ. Then Adam came to tell them, you know, about what he has learned. This is an indication that a human being can, you know, can meet the challenges, can stand on its feet, can thrive and grow. But unfortunately, some or many people, due to laziness, due to inertness, due to, you know, unwilling to strive and work hard, they squander these talents. They, you know, do not go after what they were supposed to. They are always become reliant on others, dependent on others. You know, there is a term in biology called parasite. Parasite is an animal that lives in the host environment. Always get the support from the host, like a freeloader. By itself, cannot maintain itself. Always relying on other people, on other animals. This is called a parasite. There are plenty of people, unfortunately, and instead of becoming self-reliant, self-efficient, they become social parasites. Again, the Almighty gave an example. Between two people, one who's self-reliant, who's very astute, can stand up on its feet and thrive and work hard and lead others, versus someone who's a mute, who cannot do anything, incapable and backward. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nahl, Ayah 76, says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ أَحَدُهُمَا أَبْكَمْ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ كَلٌّ عَلَى مَوْلَاهُ أَيْنَمَا يُوَجِّهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي هُوَ وَمَنْ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَهُوَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Two people. One who's deaf and mute, called dumb. Someone who cannot hear and cannot talk. Paralyzed. Cannot do anything. He is only a liability on his guardian, on his sponsor. Whatever his sponsor tries to teach him, whatever tries to teach him and show him guidance, he fails. He cannot do anything. Always relying on the master. With this person would be equal to that person who not only he, you know, he has his own self-actualization and can stand upright, rather also lead others. يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ meaning leading others. Other people, he take them, guide them. وَهُوَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Number one, he fix himself. Second, he lead others. Are those two together? Are those two people, you know, they have the same value, same stature? The first one cannot do anything. always relying on others. A student in the classroom, and instead of, you know, going to himself or herself, reading, doing his assignments, homework, always relies on his classmates in the class. He grab their exercises and just copy. Or at the exam, cheats, take a pen and paper, look from left and right and write down. Or an employee, instead of being self-reliant himself, always relies on his colleagues at work. Dump his work, his load of work on others. Or someone, some migrant, and unfortunately we have a plenty in the United States, who came from abroad 20 years ago, 30 years ago, still, you know, on the stipend, on the government assistance, the welfare system. Not knowing English, have not learned their language, have not learned any skill, only dependent on this little money that the government gives. This, you know, this is a very vivid example of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That this person is only a freeloader, only relies on others like a social parasite. Definitely, this cannot be similar to that astute, resourceful, independent, self-reliant person that not only he helps himself and his family, he stands up on his feet, also help others. If he finds someone in need, he rush to him and help him. If he finds some student wants to a good college, he help him, sending him to a good college. Helping others, giving loan to others, helping the community, helping the masjid, helping the different programs that are, you know, adopted by the youth in the masjid or by the adults in the masjid. Obviously those two, you know, are different. They are not the same. Why they are different? What is the difference? I mean, if you grab both of those brains and analyze those brains, dissect those brains, you see they are equal. If you check their hearts, again, both are identical. Why this person is reliant on others and becomes a social parasite while the other one advances and helps others and he grabs their hands and move them with him? What is the difference? It all relies in a single thing, brothers and sisters. It relies in the resolve. Whether we have a determination or we don't have a determination. In Arabic and Persian, this word is called himmah, himmat. Somebody who has himmah, who has this resolve, who has this ambition, can achieve. While the other one does not have this ambition, does not have this resolve, always, you know, dormant, always inert and lazy, of course he cannot achieve anything. Look at how the Almighty described Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim is the patriarch. He is the most, you know, mentioned the prophet in the Holy Quran. More than 75 times, the Almighty mentions Ibrahim and tell us that you have to follow the footsteps of Ibrahim. Ibrahim is such and such. Ibrahim is the great, one of the greatest prophets. For what reason? Look how he describes him. He says, "Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillah." Ibrahim was not an individual, was not a single person. Ibrahim was a whole nation. What does it mean, a whole nation? Meaning his resolve, his determination, his fortitude would equal to and surpasses one nation. One nation on one side, Ibrahim on the other side. And he was a single person. This is how a human being. Ibrahim was a human being, capable of being, you know, a single nation. While others, how many people lived this life and left, gone, without anybody notice them. I repeat this story so many times. You know, one day a donkey died in the forest. So the animals carried him in a procession. So they were reciting the poetry, you know, eulogizing this animal. They say, لا جعل الله له قرارا عاش حمارا ومضى حمارا. This guy, this donkey, came as a donkey and lived as a, you know, died as a donkey. Nothing has changed. So many people, billions of people are born, they live and go without anybody notice them. They don't have any, you know, effect on humanity. Look at Ali ibn al-Husayn Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam when he prays to Allah. What does he say? He says, Allahumma wa as'aluka min al-rahati ashfaha. If you give me rest, give me the fullest rest. Wa min al-ni'mati awfaha. If you give me bounty, mercy, make it complete, sufficient. Wa min al-himami a'laha. The resolve, this himmah, give me the highest out of those. This is how we are. This is how the A'imma alayhim as-salam teach us when we pray to Allah. Don't pray for money. Don't pray for post. Don't pray for empowerment. Pray for himmah. Pray for the resolution. When you have a resolve, you will get them all. A powerful person, what do you think a powerful person is? Because he has, for example, physical abilities that none does? No, no. It is his determination. It is his will. There used to be a warrior in the Arabian Peninsula during the time of the second Khalifa, Umar ibn al-Khattab. His name was Amr ibn Ma'di Karb. This guy was a warrior, a battle. One day, when Umar sent him to one of the battles, the leader of the Muslims, the commander of Muslims, had asked for, you know, for support, for more additional army. When Umar sent this guy, he sent a letter. He sent him by himself. He sent him, I sent you 1,000 soldiers, 1,000 warriors, meaning that this guy would equal 1,000 warriors. This guy, Amr ibn Ma'di Karb, used to have a sword. His sword was very well known, famous. It's called the Samsam. Very famous. Everybody was scared. The enemy was very scared of this Samsam. It's like, you know, the Black Hawk. How, you know, how sophisticated those airplanes are. This sword was very sophisticated. Everybody was terrified from this sword. One day he was with the Khalifa, Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar told him, borrow me this, let me see this sword. He gave it to him. The man grabbed it and started hitting, you know, back and forth and kicking this stone. Didn't see nothing special about it. He told him, Amr, what is so special about this stone? I don't see any, you know, difference. He said, Ya Amir, yes, I lend you the sword, but I didn't lend you the forearm. You need to have the forearm with this sword. Anybody can carry this weapon? No, cannot do anything. Today you see exactly the same things. How many nations, how many countries, they borrow and import billions of dollars of the most lethal weapons, most sophisticated weapons, yet still they cannot stand their own foot. Look at the Persian Gulf countries. In their aggression against Yemen, the first thing they did, they begged Pakistan to send them soldiers. They didn't. They begged Egypt to send them soldiers. Right now, they're begging Sudan. Sudan that has famine and starvation. You know, Sudan says, yes, of course, we will send you some soldiers, provided you need to fill their stomachs first. Where does this problem come from? When you look at the weapons, the weaponry that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has is terrifying. It is fourth largest country in the world that imports weapons. You know, arms. But where is it? You know, the Houthis, tribal people, you know, with couple attack, they expel them, you know, tens of kilometers away. Where is the problem? The problem is with the resolve, brothers and sisters. The problem is with the intention, with the determination. If I do have the determination, you know, I am able to. If I don't have this determination, no matter what, how much weapon I have, how much arm I have, still I will end up losing. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. So if you are a student and you ask yourself, why I don't want to go to medical school, or I am unable to go to medical school, and you want to go to medical school, there is nothing wrong with your brain. There is nothing wrong with your physical ability. There is something wrong with your determination, with your resolve. Look at Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, how he addressed it. He says, مَا ضَعُفَ بَدَنٌ عَمَّا قَوِيَتْ عَلَيْهِ النِّيَّةِ. You see, human being has two parts. One is spirit, the other one is the body. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, don't care about the body. The body never gets tired as long as the spirit is strong. If your spirit is strong, the body can achieve it. If not, then the body is not at fault. The body is the slave. It is the subordinate of the spirit. If you have such a strong spirit, such a strong intention, you will reach it. Now you see, when I tell you that you, if you want to go to medical school, don't look at your brain. Don't look at your physical ability. Look at your spirit, your determination. Are you determined to study 20 hours per day? If yes, you will be a medical doctor. If no, you cannot be a medical doctor. It can go with every person. Ali ibn Abi Talib again has a beautiful word. It says, إِنَّ الْمَرْءَ يَطِيرُ بِهِمَّتِهِ كَمَا يَطِيرُ الطَّائِرُ بِجَنَاحِهِ. A man can fly, can soar with his himmah, with his resolve, similar to that bird that takes off and soar in the skies. Meaning it is the himmah that lifts people. It is the himmah that, you know, take people to the highest level. The same thing that we say about individuals is also applied to nations. You see, some nation advance, some nation is backward. Why? Because of the collective himmah. Because the collective resolve of one nation is very strong. Therefore, they move forward. While others, you know, don't have that much resolve, they regress. I will give you one example. And back in the 70s, South Korea and another African country called Nigeria, both were number 35 in world economy. If you rank the world economy, South Korea was number 35, Nigeria also was 35. Now, in 2015, South Korea is number 13. Nigeria is still in the 30s and the 20s. Why? Because South Korea is rich. Do they have oil? Do they have natural gases? Do they have diamond and gold mines and things that in their country? No. What do they have? They have resolve. They have a human resources. It's called the human. They create money. They create gold. They create power. That's why nowadays, you know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, you know, the Japanese cars used to invade the American freeways. Nowadays, the South Korean cars are invading, not only the Americans. Look at the Asians, look at Middle Eastern, look at Africans. Look, everywhere you go, you see South Korean cars. Due to what? It didn't come out of vacuum, brothers and sisters. It came from resolve, from determination. Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, again has a beautiful word. He says, احتج إلى من شئت تكن أسيرا. Be in need for anyone you wish, you become his slave, you become his master, you know, his servant. He can play with you, he can manipulate you. واستغني عن من شئت تكن نظيرا. Stop being in need for anyone else, you will be exactly in the same position as he is. وأحسن إلى من شئت تكن أميرا. Help others, assist others, you will become their princes. This is, you know, this is the spirit. This is the reality of resolve. If you do have that, you know, you will reach. If you don't, no matter how many prayers you do, how many fastings you observe, you cannot. The reason the West had become West, why? Why the West had become the way that we recognize it? Because of the huge responsibilities that they are undertaking. Because of a huge task that they have accepted, not only for themselves, rather for others. Yesterday, the German foreign minister, Steinmeier, was in Saudi Arabia. Why? It is asking them to accept the Syrian refugees. Imagine a Westerner, non-Muslim, that neither language nor ethnicity, nor religious background matches the Syrian refugees, go to a Muslim brother who claims to be Muslim, asking them, begging them, telling them, these are human beings, accept them as a human being. You see the backward, the shamefulness. Now you wonder why Muslim countries are so in the bottom status, in the bottom list. Because of this nature. Because others pay attention to themselves and to others, while we, not only we don't pay attention to others, we also destroy our own. We destroy our own people. That's why you see how, you know, the West have advanced. Here are, I will give you a few examples. You see, brothers and sisters, it was not the governments in the West that have made, you know, West as it is. It were the people, the culture, those that are called NGO, non-government organizations. Those are who are run by masses of people, by ordinary people, and have a produce. I will give you some examples of those top ones, top NGOs. Number one is the Red Cross. The American Red Cross. Here are, I would love to share some, you know, numbers with you. Who provide emergency assistance and disaster relief to people. It is the largest supplier of blood in the world. Now, this has been established in 1881, with 500,000 volunteers, 500,000 volunteers. They don't get any money. They just help people. Now, the revenue, meaning the money that it generates and helps the economy, $6 billion. It is third largest NGO in the U.S. That's the American Red Cross. The Red Cross itself, the International Red Cross, that was founded in 1865, it has 4.5 million volunteers worldwide. 4.5 million who don't receive salaries, only work from their own time to help others. Now, their revenue that they have generated is $2.6 billion. And they have helped more than, this is in 2004, meaning 11 years ago. They have helped that time 32 million people worldwide. I was reading another one. They have generated, you know, the American Red Cross that was established in 1861, they have 13 million volunteers, not 4.5 million, 13 million volunteers, and they are in 188 countries. This is one organization that is called American Red Cross. The other one is the Salvation Army. I'm sure many of you know about Salvation Army. Their revenue is $2.6 billion. This is how much they generate and help, either by saving or generating money to others, while they themselves, you know, don't get anything. They have, those people have 4.5 million volunteers, you know, in the United States. A third organization is called Doctors Without Borders. A couple weeks ago, the American, you know, bombers attacked them in Kunduz in Afghanistan, if you know, yeah. You know. Those work in 60 countries with a revenue of $610 million. Now, they received the Nobel Prize in 1999 for their humanitarian work. Another one that, you know, we should learn from them, YMCA, you know, the Young Men's Christian Association. This is a worldwide organization. If you ask them, what is your objective? They tell you our objective is to implement the Christian principles and values into practice by helping others. We just want to tell them how good Christians we are. Now, when we Muslim want to show people that how good Muslim we are, what do we do? How many throats we butcher? How many people we slaughter? How many internal organs we take out and eat? You've seen those on the, you know, on the TV. While those people, what do? They make, you know, recreation centers for the youth. Sports centers for the youth. Recreation areas for the adults and for the elderly. Workshops, humanitarian works, even veterinarians. Those little, you know, pets, they take and cure them for free. For free. You see how much they have advanced and how much we have, you know, regressed. Here in this country in 2012, 65 million Americans, those 65 million Americans, they have paid $175 billion in donation. $175 billion in donation. This is not a, you know, small amount of brothers and sisters. More than 8 million hours of volunteers. This is how, you know, U.S. have become U.S. It's not because of the government, because of the people. Most of you know about our project. The reason that I am telling you not to advertise for this, but just to tell you a sad story. We have a charity hospital that is getting built in Kerbal, you know, under the leadership of my father. Inshallah, with your help and with your prayers, alhamdulillah, last summer, here this masjid, mashallah, hosted a good gathering and donation for the hospital, and they collected good amounts of money, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. The sad story is where there are advisory board to this project, who are all medical professionals, surgeons, specialists, college professors, and chief medical officers. There are 10 of them. They are all volunteering and donating their time and expertise to this project. Where is this project located? Located in city of Karbala, Republic of Iraq, right? Now, when someone hears this and tells him that there is a advisory board that's helping this project, some people would think, okay, how many Iraqi professionals should be in this advisory board? There are 10. There are Lebanese and Iranians and Pakistani and Indian and American. An American. American by nature, by birth, an American. How many Iraqis? Zero. Zero Iraqis. Brothers and sisters, this sad story tells you a lot, tells you big volumes. It can explain many things. This act by itself can explain why Saddam Hussein governed for 32 years. This act can explain why ISIS have taken more than half of the territory in Iraq. This act by itself. When I don't care about myself, when I don't care about my own people, would others care about me? Would others come to defend me? Iraq is not a poor country. Iraq is not like an Afghanistan that, you know, or Somalia that don't have natural resources. Iraq is one of the big countries, you know, in oil reserves, in agriculture, in tourism. Yet you see, you know, so much backward. For what reason? You know, I hate to say this. Those are my beloved people. But you have to be realistic. You have to admit this fact. The reason is because they didn't pay attention. Because we, as a people of Iraq, we don't pay attention to ourselves. The minute we pay attention to ourselves, at that time you see that ISIS disappear. All the corruption are gone. All the troubles that are facing, you know, people are faced, they're all gone. These are due to ourselves. Let's go. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Inshallah, we have about 5 more minutes. Inshallah, we'll conclude. What is the impact? and the result of volunteerism. You see, brothers and sisters, maybe some will say, it's not my job. I have my own job. I'm living fine. It is the problem of them, theirs. They should find out. They should find a solution for themselves. I shouldn't care much. This is not the word of someone who cares about a society, brothers and sisters. You see, a society is like a family, but a bigger family. A society is like a body of a human being. The Prophet, peace be upon him, resembles the society, the community of believers, like a big body of a human being. It says that مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم كمثل الجسد الواحد. Those believers, when they are together, when they are in one community, is like a big body, big human body. If one organ in the body gets afflicted, gets trouble, the other organ doesn't say, it's not my business. If the heart goes wrong, the liver doesn't say, oh, it's not my problem. It is your problem. You go fix yourself. Look how the Prophet, peace be upon him, you know, give us this analogy. Says, تعاظمهم كمثل الجسد الواحد إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الأعضاء. When a single organ gets sick, the rest all rush to him by fever, by staying vigil. Why? Because the same organ, if it goes back, it will affect them. They also will be affected. The same thing, if we are in a community, if one member of the community falls, it means that the rest, you know, sooner or later, they also will fall. One day it will come to me. It will be my turn. Therefore, I have to extend my hand. Second, when I go to work, when I spend 8 and 9 hours in the office or in the factory or in the gas station working, am I working for the owner of this gas station and the factory? Or I am providing for myself and for my family? Definitely, I am working for myself. I am working for my family. The same thing. When something happens in the society, eventually I am working for myself. I am improving myself as a member of that society. You see, this is one thing. Second, many people get promoted. They get to realize themselves. They try to build their own resume, their own history by helping others. I will give you one example. Barack Obama. Who was Barack Obama? Barack Obama was an community organizer. He was helping and enabling his community in Chicago. By that time, he learned his, you know, skills. He built his own character. He became a charismatic leader. Eventually, he ended up in the White House. People come to recognize and applaud others when they help others. That's why you see so many great leaders like Mahatma Gandhi, like Nelson Mandela, like that nun, you know, Mother Teresa, and things like that. Why they are so revered? Because of the help that they have extended to others. And one important aspect of brothers and sisters that we should help, and we should make more of those NGOs and volunteer, we build a civil society. You see, the West, alhamdulillah, they are at peace. They have a civil society. Their society is civil, meaning that their citizens, they have reached maturity that they can deal, you know, for themselves. They can fix their own problems. The government is very small government. Doesn't, you know, go into every detail and fix everybody's problem. It is those organizations. Look at the hospitals. 90% of the hospitals here in the United States are non-profit organizations, meaning not for a profit. That's a community gathered together and they made a hospital. That's why they have built a civil society. The problem in the Islamic world with our despot, with our dictatorships, is that we don't have a civil society. It's only the government. The government decide what to do. The government to that decide will build a hospital or demolish a hospital. To make a railway or not to make a railway. When we volunteer, when we make those NGOs, we help to promote a civil society. At that time, at this part cannot do anything. One criteria, one feature of this NGO, this volunteering, that masses start talking to each other. An individual talk and listen to the other, while the other talk and listen to this individual. It will be communication and dialogue between masses, which is, you know, that's the last thing that a dictator wants. You see, dictatorships, they hate mass demonstrations. They don't want people too poor in the streets. Why? Because they get terrified. This NGO, this volunteer act, make people talk to each other. And that's why a civil society will be grown. And most importantly, brothers and sisters, it is the reward that you will get in the akhirah. Here you sacrifice, who you donate from your time, from your expertise, from your money, but in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have saved you a big reward. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ مَن نَفَعَ النَّاسِ. The best among people is the person who has helped others. Here, the Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, لَئِنْ أَعُولَ أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ مُنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. If I can sponsor a single household of Muslimin, أَسَدَّ جُوعَتَهُمْ وَأَكْسُوَ عَوْرَتَهُمْ فَأَكُفَّ وُجُوهَهُمْ عَنِ النَّاسِ. If I can help a single household, I feed their stomach, I give them a shelter that they rest, so they become independent from asking others. أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَحِجَّ حَجَّةً وَحَجَّةً وَحَجَّةً. For me, it's better than I go to Masjid al-Haram and have Hajj 10 times. He keeps repeating Hajj and Hajj and Hajj. Meaning that when you pay attention to others, you will get the reward more than when you pay attention to yourself. This is how, you know, the Imam alayhi salam describes it. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, مَنْ مَشَى فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ مَنْ مَشَى فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ قَضَى اللَّهُ لَهُ أَلْفَ حَاجَةٍ أَيْسَرُهَا الْجَنَّةِ. Someone who tries, whether he accomplishes or not accomplishes, that's another story. Someone who tries to help his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill thousands of his needs, of his wishes. One of them is the heaven. One of them is jinn. This is how the rewards are getting. With what? With little sacrifice. You spend some of your time, some of your expertise, some of your money, your family, you know, just pay attention to some needies back at your homeland. With little sacrifice, you will get the reward. God will give you big rewards. As the sacrifice gradually goes up and up, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you ample, more and more and more. Now you wonder why Imam Hussein for 1400 years have survived and his name is getting shiner and shiner and glittering by time. Why? Because he has sacrificed his entire existence to Allah. He has given everything. There are some people who sacrifice their money, their wealth. Some will sacrifice their properties. Some even sacrifice themselves. They're ready to, you know, kill themselves. Some even more, they sacrifice their children. Some even more, they sacrifice their infant children. Maybe you have an adult child. Now, nowadays, back in Iraq, there are so many volunteers. You know, we have a sad story, also we have a happy story, that we have so many volunteers that are standing up to ISIS and fighting ISIS. Those people have sent their children. But those children are adults. They have reached the age of maturity. They have decided. But Imam Hussein also have sacrificed his infant child for the way of Allah. Now, do we get surprised why God has given him so much in return? Imam Hussein, you know, when he sacrificed all his children, you know, not only one, not only two, they were multiple. when he sacrificed his children, especially Abdullah al-Radi', the youngest one, Ali al-Asghar, he was satisfied. When he saw the blood is gushing from the throat of Ali al-Asghar, he said, he looked to the heavens and said, Allahumma in kana hada yurdik, fakhudh hatta tarda. If you are satisfied with this, take as much as you can. Take as much as you want, because I am satisfied. I am happy. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in the battle of Ashura, the more he would give, the more his face would brighten. The more he would be satisfied, because those were all the trust in his hand. He was giving those trust that God has given him. He was giving them back, you know, one by one, back to Allah. You see, Imam Hussein wished two things from us. His followers who didn't see that battle, yet we are, you know, eulogizing him. Imam Hussein, in the poetry, wanted two things. Here the poets have put it into this piece of poetry. It says, number one, that Imam Hussein wanted from us. He says, whenever you drink water, remember me. Shi'ati. Ma'in sharibtum athba ma'in fadhkuruni. Anytime you drink water, remember your imam who was martyred while he was thirsty. This is number one. Shi'ati ma'in sharibtum athba ma'in fadhkuruni aw sama'tum biqatilin aw shaheedin fandubuni fa'ana sibtu alladhi amin ghayri jurmin قتلوني وبجرد الخيل بعد القتل عمدا قتلوني سحقوني. This is one thing. The other one, the Imam wants to wish that we were there to see, to witness, not to help him, not to go and fight with him. No, he says, Shi'ati, what I wanted, I wish that you were there. What? Ya Ibn Rasulullah, what did you want us to see? He continues, he says, لَيْتَكُمْ فِي يَوْمِ عَاشُورَ جَمِيعًا تَنْظُرُونِي. All of you were able to see me. كَيْفَ أَسْتَسْقِي لِطِفْلِي فَأَبَوْا أَنْ يَرْحَمُونِي. I took this little infant in the front of them, this innocent infant, this one who had not committed any crime, showing them to them, telling them, give him some sip of water. This little boy is dying. Just little water will save him. فَأَبَوْا أَنْ يَرْحَمُونِي فَسَقَوْهُ سَهْمَ بَغْيٍ عَوَضَ الْمَاءِ الْمَعِينِ. But instead of giving him water, an arrow penetrated and pierced through his throat. Harmala says that we waited for the Imam comes. Imam Hussein came. While not wearing his armor, he came with a little shining baby in his lap. He came and told them, Ya Qawm, you have killed everyone from my family. You killed my brothers. You killed my companions. You killed my cousins. This is the last remaining one is left. If it were my mistake, if I am guilty, what is the guilt of this little infant? What this little infant has done, you take him, you give him water. People, you know, were in fighting among themselves. Some people say yes, some people said no, don't do that. All of a sudden, Umar ibn Sa'd looked at Harmala and told him, Harmala, waylak, why don't you leave this problem continuing? Continue, do what you should do. Bring this little boy to peace. Harmala said, I pointed the arrow penetrated the throat of this little boy. This little boy took his hand out of this well and hugged his father. While the water, the blood was, you know, gushing from his throat. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Al-Ali al-Azim, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأنا أخذت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته.